This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Hey, it's Amy Brown here to talk about St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. For 60 years, St. Jude doctors and researchers have helped push the overall childhood cancer survivor rate from 20% to more than 80%. But we need your help getting that number to 100%. And most important, your support means that families will never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food. Now, that peace of mind means so much. So join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope and text Bobby to 785-833. That's B-O-B-B-Y to 785-833.
Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest.
Every time I've taken that to God and was just like, I don't know that this is my path anymore. If I need to keep going, can you let me know? It was just this rush of peace that I got, and the words were, you got to keep going.
Episode 433 with Abby Anderson. Abby's awesome. Known her for a long time. Not to be confused with Abby from our show, who is Abby Lee Anderson, which is why I should have put the Lee in, because of this Abby Anderson. But Abby is from Southlake, Texas. She moved to Nashville when she was 17, one of 7 kids, second oldest. She began piano lessons at about 5 years old, and her interest in country music comes from her mom, who comes from a family of country music singers, and they just generally loved country music there. So Abby's been through it. She came to Nashville, got a record deal, left that record deal, independent for a long time, now has kind of a new label deal going, but she's awesome. I think you're going to love her. If you don't know her, you're going to love her after this interview. Let me play a little bit of Heart on Fire in Mexico.
Can you smell that smoke? Drifting in the desert, went to San Antonio.
And here's a little bit of The Reason I Stay.
Yeah, baby, you're the reason I'm crazy. And lady, you're the reason I cry. Yeah, you're the only reason I hate me. And love you at the same time.
On Instagram and TikTok, Abby Anderson Music. Enjoy one of my favorites. Here she is, Abby Anderson. Are you comfortable?
I'm so great.
Are you good?
Yeah.
Yeah? How you
it's
been?
It's so good to see you.
It's good to see you too. It's good to see you too. When's the last time we saw each other?
2021.
No way.
Yeah, huh?
You're out
you
of your
had
mind.
Me on the maybe it was the beginning of 2022 because you had me on the show.
You're out of your mind.
Because I made you put me on the show.
Yeah, that's not, that can't be true that it's been that long.
Yeah, huh? I think so. Maybe I've seen you in passing and
maybe,
stuff.
Maybe, but I think maybe it's social media too, where I follow you, so I see what you're up to, so I feel like I see you all the time.
I'm
maybe
sorry
that's
about
it.
That.
No. when did you go do shows with me? Was that before even 2021 or 2022?
That was 2019.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You were making fun of my crop tops and everything. I still remember that.
Man, I guess COVID that just kind of funny. erased years from memories.
I know. I still try to give myself grace for that.
For what? But
I don't know,
but I talked to you. I've talked to you though, even I haven't seen you. Speaking of that, I remember you. We talked on the phone once when you were making music.
Mm-hmm.
So that counts.
I was asked. I needed some guidance. I was freaking out.
Yeah. Yes. So that counts, even though I didn't see you. Like,
100%.
I guess my point is, I genuinely like you, and we've spent enough time together.
I genuinely like you.
We've spent enough time together where I feel like. Like, I know you, even if I don't see you for a year and a half or so.
Yeah.
So.
I'm not exactly mysterious, so. Pretty easy to know.
That is true. You're not mysterious. What do you do? I have a lot of like, you know, questions about what we're going to talk about, but like, what do you do for, if, cause I was just at home. I had like 30 minutes. We'd been doing the show. We went and recorded another video, basketball show, had like 30 minutes just to sit. If you have that, what do you do if you have 30 minutes or an hour to sit? Like, what is your, I'm going to chill for a second activity.
You're going to laugh at me cause it's hippy dippy, but it helps me so much. Deep breathing. Like if I have 30 minutes to just dream, I take it. And I'm like, I'm going to put my phone away.
Like meditation type?
I guess so. Yeah. Like praying slash. I love writing in my journal. I just love visualizing and letting myself dream. I'm like, if I didn't have any fear in me right now, what would I do? And I just practice visualizing that, feeling that emotion. And I feel like that's changed so much for me.
Do you feel like that helps you? And when did you start focusing on that?
Like, probably last summer.
Really?
2023 summer.
Why? Yeah. Why did you start going down that route?
I was just tired of being where I was. And I don't know if you've ever felt like this. Like, I felt like I saw the person I wanted to be, and she was within reach. And I was like, I know I have that potential. And I get really, really frustrated when, for some reason, I feel like I can't reach my potential. And that's, like, my biggest fear in life is not reaching my full potential.
I'm reading this book called The Power of Now, and it's all about part of it's the ego and what we, the past and the future, or what define the ego, what we think about what we used to be and what we hope that we can be, or what the pressures we put on ourselves to be. And the whole book is like focusing on right now, because that's the only thing you can actually affect. And it's a lot of what you're saying too, like, just stopping, slowing down, closing your eyes, sitting up though, because if you lay back, you'll fall asleep. I fell into that trap.
Yeah, but naps are good.
Yeah, but not if you're actually trying to.
Well, maybe you need a nap.
Oh, I always need a nap.
You definitely need
maybe
a
I'm
nap.
Just talking to me then. I always
need
a nap.
Yeah, don't project.
I don't sleep. I don't sleep that much. So where did you learn to do this? Did you just start going, I'm going to take deep breaths? Or did you read it somewhere? Or did you have a friend that was like, hey, if you'll just, because I do the breathing as well now, because I've been taught, hey, the first thing you can do is just focus on your breathing, because what that does is it takes your mind off of everything else.
Yeah.
So as much as you're breathing and it's good to put oxygen in your blood, the physical part of it, but if you focus on your breathing, you, at least for a bit, stop focusing on all the things that can be bothersome or stressful. Or why, and how did you know to start doing that?
So I learned it from a vocal coach back in like 2019 again. And she taught me the importance of diaphragmatic breathing.
So to sing.
To sing.
Got it.
And then I was like, man, when I do this though, I feel great. And I feel like the past few years, it's just been a lesson of tapping back into what I want and listening to myself and listening to my gut. I've always had a strong gut instinct. I just got really bad at listening to it.
Who's the person you want to be? Like, who did you see that you didn't feel like you were, but you could actually get there? What was different about her?
Wait, say that again.
Well, you said you saw the person that you could be.
She's free. So just free and fearless. And
you don't think you're that?
I think I'm getting there. I think I'm pretty damn close.
My perception of you is that you are very free.
Yay.
I think at times we can seem fearless, but it doesn't mean we actually are.
No, I'm still scared. I think a lot of times, I think for a while I was like even scared of, I don't mean this in a cocky way, I think I was scared of how powerful I know I am.
Because?
Because then I'm calling the shots. And then everything's on me. And
then if you fail, then if you fail, then it's your fault.
And I can't blame anybody. Yeah. It's not any label president's fault. It's not the A&R's fault. It's not the pretty. It's me.
Did you? So you were with a label for a while. I was with the same label for a while.
Yep.
And when you went independent and you left the label, was there a fear that you couldn't be successful without a label? Or was there more of a fear? Yeah, really?
No fear. It was, I think what it was I was just so excited to throw paint at the wall. And I think what I made next, that was back in 2021. That is when I emailed you and I was like, hey, listen to this, please Because I was, yeah, I was scared because I was like, dang, this is, I feel like I'm 17 again, moving to town,
yeah,
like truly creating the stuff I believed in that I freaking loved. And that was fun. And I was like, okay, I don't really care what this does. That was the first time in a long time that I felt like I'm creating music I love. I don't care what it does. Hopefully people like it. Like, I wouldn't be an artist if I made music just for me. Of course I want people to hear it. Of course I want people to enjoy it. And it's still, I write it because I have to. And that was the first time in a minute where I was like, I don't care if people like this. And luckily, they did. And I'd like to think I'm getting better and better and better at that.
What do you mean they liked it? Just data? Just streams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like my fans. Like, the I've never had that reaction from my people before, and they weren't concerned about the sound per se. I think they could just see the light in me and the fire in me and the passion behind it. Like, it's so much more fun promoting a song
that you actually
when you
like.
Believe it. Yeah, oh yeah. My gosh, like, I didn't know what that felt like.
Yeah, that's funny. That's true.
I was like, damn, I've been fake as hell this whole time. So I'm like, if I can be that good promoting something with a fake smile, imagine how much more fun it's going to be when it's real.
So when you're putting out this record we're talking about now, this body of music, and you put it out and it does, in your mind, it makes you feel good. You're fulfilled, yeah, by the reaction that it got. So does it make you enjoy now being with a label that would give you a bit of your own autonomy? Or because, like, aren't you signed now with somebody different?
Virgin.
So
it's been awesome.
It's a legit label.
Yeah.
And that's what I was, my point was, now do you have a bit more of understanding of what you want, and you'll actually ask for it instead of just having them tell you, this is your sound, you will do this?
For sure. And I think I needed that moment after the first label deal to be truly, truly independent, to stand on my own two feet, and I'll take the heat in that way. And now I don't think any label would come to me and assume that any differently, that I wouldn't present the music I loved. Like, now you couldn't tell me what to say.
And you wouldn't have been able to tell you then, when you left your first label, that, hey, this is actually going to be for the great. Not just for the good, but for the great, because you almost needed that break to understand why you were breaking.
Yeah.
To understand.
That's a great way. I needed a break to understand why I was so miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucked.
And you probably were a bit even more miserable for a minute. Like, the misery.
Oh, Bobby, I got so depressed.
I bet.
After I left. And that's an interesting question. I wonder why, because I got what I wanted. I wanted to be free. And then once I was free, I almost quit.
Mm-hmm.
I almost quit.
Why not? Why didn't you quit? Like, what was the little pep talk you had with yourself where you're...
Oh, I'm terrible at pep talks with myself. I would, like, crap on myself. I think that was God. There was that, like...
Well, that can be yourself.
It was that...
Whatever it was
right.
inside of
God
you.
God's inside of us. I believe that. But, like, it was just that gut tug that was like, you're not done yet. And every time I've taken that to God and was just like, I don't know that this is my path anymore. I don't know that this is for me. If it is, can you let me know? If I need to keep going, can you let me know? Instantly, it'll just be like, it was just this rush of peace that I got. And the words were, you got to keep going. Just keep going. And
was
I'm
there
really glad I did.
Anything artistic that you did once you decided that you were going to keep going that kind of revitalized you? Any specific art that you made, music or anything?
I think it was that, it's called Sugar Spice, that 9-song project, and that had Bad Posture on it. Once I wrote Bad Posture, and that was released in 2022, and that was with Marshall Altman, who was like, he just provided such a great cocoon for me to, like, recover, and I needed to recover the artist in me to feel fearless again and give back to that 17-year-old Abby. I'm like, you couldn't tell that girl shit. She strolled into town, had no idea about, like, how hard it was to get a record deal, and she got one in 2 years because she said she would. And I was like, that girl was a dreamer, and she just made it happen by asking for it.
She was a dreamer, and that's, we aspire to have, at least I do at times, aspire to have some of that I call it, like, dumb deer face, where you just don't know, so you just go.
It's like a kid.
You just don't. However, you want that again, but you've had to go through some hard times, so you're actually way more mature and part of you as well.
I'd like to think.
You have
to
be.
I'd like to think.
Anytime you go through adversity, you either get stronger or you die.
Yeah.
And you got a lot stronger in this case. That Bad Posture song was so good.
Thank you. I still love that song.
Yeah, I loved that song.
Thank you.
Did your people really like that song? Was that one that resonated?
Yeah.
That was, I mean, I think we played that on the iHeart Women show that
yeah,
I programmed.
Thank you.
That's such a good song.
And I needed that.
Mm-hmm.
I needed that one.
I was watching your Instagram. It's been a while now. And I saw you do this song and you were like, my grandma.
Heart on Fire Mexico.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I watched probably one of the first times you posted it. And you were like, and you may have to retell me the story, but like my grandma met somewhere over in a place, like an island
far.
Or something.
An island. This is in Mexico.
Okay, yeah. See, whatever. I knew it was something though. Mexico and island, they're both warm. I get
it. Yeah.
Okay, so tell me the story before we talk about the song. So what happened? How did she tell you the story? Go ahead.
So this is the story I grew up hearing from my mom. So my mom's half Mexican. And my dad's like whiter than you are.
Why do I have to be the standard for very white? Okay, go ahead.
It's okay. It's not. It's a good. It's okay.
Okay.
And so me and my sisters, we always grew up knowing that like mom's Mexican, she speaks Spanish. It was just the culture we grew up around. And I remember when we were little kids, we're like, mom, like where did that come from? And she for the longest time would not tell us this story because her childhood was really traumatic and, you know, and I hope she writes a book about her story one day.
Where did she live as a kid?
El Paso.
Got it.
So, anyways, the story goes, my peepaw was in the army and he was in Fort Bliss. And back in those days, this is the story I was told, okay? We could go and fact check, but frankly, everyone was drunk. And, like, I go back and I ask my Granny Joe the facts or, like, anybody, and everyone's got a different story. This is the story I grew up hearing from my mother, okay? He's in Fort Bliss. He goes over to Juarez with some buddies. And that's where my nanny was working at a bar. Gorgeous lady. I mean, stunning. And, they meet at a bar, hook up. She gets pregnant.
Wait, hook up as in that night?
Yeah.
First night.
That night, first
yeah,
night.
Got it.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Early, at least.
Very early.
Yeah.
Anyways, he goes back to the States, not knowing she's pregnant, and has my mom. And then they get back to El Paso. That's what's murky. I don't understand how she went from Juarez to El Paso. That might not be like, I don't know if it was legal. Like, I don't know how it happened. Somehow they ended up in El Paso.
Okay.
And my mom grows up knowing that her father was this army guy. And long story short, somehow finds him when she's like 9 or 10 years old because she needed to get away from my nanny. She was not like a healthy person. And finds my peepaw.
Wow.
And that's like a whole, her story's incredible.
And he had no idea.
He actually knew, so he finds out later. I found this out from my grandma, Peepaw's wife. And she actually told me like, hey, I don't think your mom realized that Peepaw actually went to go find Yolanda. Because somehow he found out she was pregnant and he brought her to San Antonio. And then I think she just wasn't comfortable there. It was a whole different culture and everything. And she
went back. And then
something like that. And then my mom found him when she was like 9 or 10. Like she had like the neighbor called him and was like, you got to get this girl out of here.
Hang tight. The Bobbycast will be right back.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
And we're back on the Bobbycast.
Where was your grandpa living?
At that time, he was in East Texas.
So stayed in Texas?
Yeah.
Was he from Texas originally?
Yep. Texas boy.
So you write Heart on Fire in Mexico.
Yeah, I've always wanted to write my mom a song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how long did it take you to write that one?
So fast.
Oh, it fell out of you?
It was so fast. Like I've always, for a long time, I was like, man, my mom gave me and my sisters the life she never had. She gave us the gift of having a mother. And I'm like, that's just an incredible thing to do, be able to give someone something you've never experienced before. And so I woke up one day, and literally I woke up in those first 4 lines. She was a dark-haired, white-haired, beauty flirting with a G.I. Joe off-duty working at the tips at a bar in Mexico. And I was like, whoa. I was like, thank you, God. And I called up my buddy, Michael Farron. I had a write with him scheduled that day, and I was like, I'm coming in hot. And we have to write this today. And it was like maybe 30 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's rare and awesome.
It was rare and awesome.
Especially something that falls out of you that has longevity in that you end up keeping it, recording it, being proud of it.
Yeah.
All of that. Because if I'm doing something, I'm like, oh, this is a great idea. Half the time, it's not even that great once I finally get around. Or I don't.
Or falls flat later.
Yeah.
For you.
Or yeah. Maybe I'm like, it falls flat and I'm like, you know, I'm not even going to pursue it anymore where maybe I should. But for all of that to happen and also be a very personal.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what's the song that, like, what is, the, like, what's your song now? That, like, I your focus song, your single, whatever they call it these days.
Right now, it's The Reason I Stay.
Okay.
Which I love that song. But still, like, and my, like, the people who follow me love that song too. But still, it's Heart on Fire in Mexico. I feel like I cracked something inside me when I wrote that.
I felt like when I watched you play it. Yeah. I mean, I remember just watching the video from when the first time you put it up.
Yeah.
Like, I felt.
Feels like me.
I didn't rewatch it, I didn't do any, like, research. Yeah. On you as far as like going to watch videos again, because I just see it all the time.
Yeah.
But I remember the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, wow. I mean, I felt that.
Thank you.
Good. And you know, we're in a land where there's a lot of that trying to happen, but it's rare that you really feel something because it's all the time and everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. You should come play that on the radio show.
I'll do it. Yeah,
that'd be really good. And it won't
bring
be
one. The piano.
And I've never told you to come on and then... You not come on.
Duh, freaking Bobby. What? I'm going to tell you.
No, but I'm saying, no, it's not no. I'm saying, I don't say, hey, you should come on.
Then, like,
I
like, hey, then I like, don't, then I like, don't follow up.
You
want to come play?
No,
yeah,
I say
yeah,
it,
I want to come play.
When I say it, I mean, do. I don't, it's not like a, we should have dinner sometime when people say that, but
no,
really,
you
they don't
mean
it.
It.
Yes. Yeah, shut up, man.
Well, yay.
Get
thank
off,
you.
Shut up. Get off of me. Did you do shows with Stevie Nicks?
Yes.
That's
what the hell?
That's wild.
It was so dope.
How did that come together and what was it like?
So, Cheryl Lewis, who's Stevie Nicks' manager, she's become a great mentor to me. And I met her through a friend of a friend, my friend Madison. You know how Nashville works. It's just like Cheryl was Madison's aunt. We're at a get this. We were at a house party one night and Madison texts me and she's like, hey, she knows I'm like a huge Chris Isaac fan, like obsessed with him.
Never fall.
Don't even try it. You're gonna make me mad. Don't even try.
I was letting our audience know who it was.
People know I just am upset. Like I feel like he raised. Like I grew up listening to his records with my mom in the car growing up. And she texts me. She's like, "Hey, you should come over tonight. My uncle Chris is here. My aunt Cheryl." And so I'm thinking like, okay,
no way. Is that
kid? Right? You not Chris Isaac?
Is her uncle?
Is her freaking uncle? And I walked in and I was like, bro, I was like, Madison, I said, do you know who your uncle is? I was freaking out. And the last thing I was going to do was be like, oh, I'm an artist too, you know?
Right.
So I just start asking him questions, being a nerd. And finally he was like, why do you care so much? And I was like, I sing, whatever. And that night we just ended up playing guitar together all night.
Oh my God.
It was so fun. And Cheryl was there. And so me and Cheryl became really good friends. And I would just ping her every now and then for advice and business stuff. And then one day she called me. This was like a year and a half later probably. And I don't expect anything from anybody. Like I genuinely love her. And she just called me one day and she's like, hey, sweetie, I was just wondering if you want to come open for Stevie.
No way.
I was like, yes, Cheryl. I was like, yes, I would love to do that. So we did like, I think we had four or five shows with her.
There's a lot
it
to unpack.
Awesome.
And I want to come back to the shows in a second. But you are at a house with Chris Isaac just playing music, a guy that you listen to a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. Tell me about that. And what do you play? And how do you, like, what's the vibe?
He literally feels like your uncle, but like a legendary uncle. He's like the most humble, like sweetest man. I'm like, he was just fun.
And that's Madison's uncle?
Yep.
Did he do? Oh, I don't want to fall in love.
No, I didn't want to ask him to sing
that. Do the big single.
He's probably so tired of that song. We just played covers.
That's cool though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever like see him ever anymore?
I do. Uncle? Yeah. When I go to LA, they'll have me over. He took me to Lululemon. Like we'll go shopping. They're so fun. And like Cheryl's like pushing her dogs everywhere. They're like family to me.
That's
now.
That's cool.
It's so fun. I love that man.
So
this is dope.
Let's talk about going to open for Stevie Nicks. So she called and says, hey, do you want to do this? Of course you do. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, Fleetwood Mac, amazing. Stevie Nicks, amazing. First show was what city?
Chicago.
And
or Orlando. Orlando or Chicago.
Do you remember the first, like going to the venue that day?
Oh, yeah. It was a big old arena, sold out.
An arena. That's crazy.
I don't know if you ever felt like this, and I hope this doesn't come off in like an arrogant way, but I remember walking in there being like, hell yeah. Like, this place ain't big enough. Mm-hmm. Like, it just felt so damn good. Oh my gosh.
Did you get to meet her before you played?
No, I haven't met her.
You didn't meet her?
I've never met her. I wrote her like a couple little notes to saying thank you.
Yeah.
And I gave them to her team. I highly doubt her team gave it to her.
I bet they did, or at least put it in front of her.
Maybe. But I won't blame them if they didn't, you know?
I'm surprised she didn't say hi or something.
Oh, I don't blame her. I mean, the woman's a freaking legend. She's still crushing it every night. She's
did you go watch side stage?
Oh,
or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And she's just, I feel like I learned from her, like her just standing there is enough. like just the presence she has and the energy she brings to her show.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned, like, man, I'm enough. Like, you know, me just standing there being present, letting the audience know I'm happy to be there. That's when I have my best shows. I don't need to do a whole bunch of, I think I spent a lot of time trying to prove something, you know?
To what or to who?
Everybody. Just doing too much rather than the thing that comes effortlessly to me and getting really, really good at that.
How much do you play piano in your set?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That's how I was introduced to you, by the way, before I ever knew who you were.
I was like the piano player.
Yes. I'd never met you.
Yeah.
And because, again, was on the same label. So I had a relationship over there. I ended up, you know, buying my way out of it because I was like, I don't need a label. We do all our own promotion.
Yeah.
And so I kept a good relationship. And I remember when they had signed you, you were introduced to me as this amazing singer who's even a better piano player.
That's nice.
So I thought it was like little Mozart or something.
That's nice. I mean, I grew up playing Mozart.
You did?
I'll still pull him out every now and then.
Really? Because I've never seen that version of you, the classically trained.
No, I mean, if you asked me to play off memory right now, I probably couldn't. It'd be pretty choppy. No, in my set, it's probably, I'll take a little acoustic. It depends how long the set is, but I like to be me and just the audience. But those shows were acoustic. So it was just me. I brought my guitar player, Chad, and I probably roll. I mean, we got like seven songs. So I probably rolled four of those on piano. And then I just get bored. Like, I don't want to stand behind the piano the whole time. Feels like I'm, you know, imagine me wanting attention. I just like being out front.
Do you feel most comfortable instrument wise with the piano?
Yeah, for sure. It's just like I don't have to think about it.
That would be so cool.
You're a good guitar player, though.
No, I'm not. But I took lessons on piano. I'm not a good guitar player. I play well enough to be able to do comedy. Not good. I can't sing either, but I sing, you know?
All you got to be is good enough.
All you got to be is confident, honestly. Yeah. If you trick people into thinking you're good, sometimes they're like, I guess he's...
They'll believe you.
They're like, well, I guess this is good. He looks like he's... thinks he's good, so why not believe
it? I'm buying.
It? Yeah. So I took piano lessons. As an adult, really struggled.
Really?
I was probably...
Were they teaching you theory, though? Or were they teaching you, like, how to read notes?
That second one?
Oh, well, that's... Yeah, you would love theory.
Theory...
Essentially just taking what you already know on guitar and just laying it flat on a keyboard.
Yeah, I don't know enough on guitar to do that.
Anyone can pick up the Nashville number system easy. I'm actually teaching my husband right now.
Like, really?
It's so fun.
The Nashville number system is interesting because I've recorded enough music to hear them all.
Like, 1, 4,
doing
six.
It, yeah, quickly too.
Right.
They'll pull up the sheet and be like, all right, 1, 4, 3, 3.
Best system ever.
And I have no idea, but I'm like, yeah, that's good. I like that. Yeah, 1, 4, 3, 3. that seems to work. Could you have been a pianist?
I think so.
If you would have focused on that?
That was my dream initially. It was like when I was 8, I was classically trained and would travel Texas doing piano competitions.
Oh, you would compete?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was such a nerd, Bob. I still am a nerd. But yeah, when I was really little, my piano teacher, like we thought we were on the road to going for Juilliard. I thought that's where I needed to go to like do music.
I just don't think that's a nerd thing. I think that's an awesome thing. Like, I'm jealous.
Well, I was homeschooled on top of that, so we can argue what's nerdy, what's not.
The homeschool thing is, and I knew that. And also, you look like your sisters. I mean, it is crazy.
I know,
when you're,
right?
Do you see it? Because sometimes people can't see when they, like my sister, people say, you guys look alike, kind of, but not really.
Yeah.
Do you see it?
Oh, yeah. Sister?
Okay.
Like, half of us are, it's funny, because me and Avery, they call us, like, we're like the two brown ones. Like, that's where my mom's side of the family comes out. And then my two twin sisters, it's like unfair how gorgeous they are because they got like my mom's dark hair, my dad's blue eyes, and that olive skin. And then, I think we all look super alike.
How many total and brothers and sisters?
Seven of us.
And
so six girls.
Wow.
One boy, brother. And he's the little baby. He's our OBB, only baby boy.
The seventh was the only boy.
Yeah.
Were your parents going to keep trying until?
No, so he actually, and I don't want to say, he's only like 13, so I don't want to tell too much of his story, but we adopted him.
Oh, is that right?
He was adopted, and it was one of those things where he's actually like my third or fourth cousin, but he's my brother.
But he's also still in the family?
Oh, yeah.
In a way? Oh, that's cool.
But he's my brother. Like, we got him. I remember my mom just came home with him. He was like 2 weeks old, and we're just obsessed with him.
Does your sisters, do they like your husband?
Oh my gosh. Everybody's got a crush on my husband. They won't admit it. Everybody's got a little crush on my husband.
What's he like when he's around all your sisters?
Oh, man. What is he like? He's really good at taking jokes. Like, we're pretty mean. I don't know if you're like...
You make fun of each other. That's how you show you love each other.
We make so much fun of each other. Like, we just freaking don't know how to stop. And Tyler's really, really, really great at taking a joke. Like, he can laugh at himself. He'll fire one back. My little sister Avery and him, like, they are so funny in the family group chat. They are just, like, making fun of each other the whole time.
Do you guys have a group that he's not in and then also a group that he is in?
We have too many group chats, and it gets us in trouble because we're like, oh, wrong group chat, wrong group chat. like me and my sister, it's just me and my, like, Ashlyn, me, Aaron, and Emily, us four oldest girls. We're just like kind of talking crap about everybody all the time in that GM. And then there's one with the little sisters, Avery, Olivia, and then one with the Tyler and Skylar. They're the only like boy in-laws at the moment. We'll see if the other boys my sisters are dating make the cut. We'll see.
Boy, it's tough to get brought into a six sister
family. All the girls,
family.
Man. And we're pretty ruthless.
Who's the oldest?
Ashlyn. She's my big sister. So I'm the second.
Got it.
Yeah.
So when there are six girls, pardon my crass question here,
I wouldn't ask this unless it was you.
Do you guys like fart on each other and stuff?
Like, yeah.
Were brothers? Okay.
We're disgusting. I think girls, we are so much more gross than boys.
We just do it more outwardly.
No, we're privately disgusting. Yeah.
I wonder, because if you have three boys together farting on each other all the time.
No,
it's all
that used to be my wake-up call growing up. Like, you know, should come in and be like, good morning.
Yeah, that's funny.
You're like, okay. And the fights about clothes and just like, I mean, we would probably slap each other harder than like the UFC. Mm. Like, hit each other. I mean... Yeah.
Anybody else do music?
Everybody.
In some form?
Not professionally, but all my sisters sing. Like, we grew up singing in church together, and they're all incredible. Like, Aaron and Emily still keep up their chops on the classical piano. I mean, they're, like, the touch they have on keys is incredible. So, yeah, we all get together and sing. And
you want a water or something?
It's fun. Ooh, I would love a water, actually.
What are you
drinking there?
It's a beer.
No, it's not. You don't drink.
I know.
I saw 30 calories on that. I was like, what kind of beer is that?
do you want a water?
I love water.
Okay. It's a whole... Thanks, Mike. It's a kombucha.
Hummus.
But it's called Hum, and I...
Do you like kombucha? Like, it doesn't make you bloated or anything?
It does a little. It makes you burp a lot.
Yeah.
But when I was doing Whole 30... There you go.
Oh, you guys have the... I love the box water.
Hey, one environmental step at a time.
I love this. This makes me feel good.
You couldn't have... I couldn't have sugar when I was doing Whole 30, and that's just about eating natural stuff.
When did you do that?
Probably 9-10 months ago.
It's pretty amazing. Do you feel better mentally when you're...
There's not near as much brain fog. You sleep better. Everything's better. And it's not a crazy diet, like one of these novel diets. It's just... You don't eat processed food and only really stuff that comes from the ground or animal, but no sugar. And I love sugar. I'd eat sugar all day. It's my favorite thing. I would only eat sugar. That would be the only thing. I'd have sugar for breakfast, lunch, dinner, main meal and dessert. But these kombuchas, they were Whole 30, and I just got kind of, it was like the one thing I could really like
satisfies the sweet.
Yeah. Cause I love soda and I don't drink it almost maybe two a year.
Yeah.
I would drink a 3-liter of Mountain Dew a day.
Good for you. That's just like a discipline. You're like, I'm just not gonna do soda.
I would like to do soda still.
Yeah,
because I felt like it was not as much pleasure as it was pain.
What do you mean?
Meaning I would drink it and just feel bad, or I'd have a TV shoot or something and I would be like not liking how I would look in whatever clothes they were gonna put me in. And mostly it's all the gross sugar I was eating. It wasn't a body image thing. I could just see all the sugar. And so
I can see it in my face.
Yeah, face.
And I'm like, that's not worth, like, I think God made me vain so that I would be healthy. Because I'm like, if I didn't see it on my face what I was eating. Because as soon as I eat sugar or like
sugar
any
me.
Of that yeah. or the sodas, like I'll start breaking out. I'm like, it's just
really?
Not worth, yeah, it's just not worth it.
The Bobbycast. We'll be right back.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or you like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for four lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with four lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
This is the Bobbycast.
We were having, you and I were having dinner at Cheesecake Factory in Virginia Beach.
2019.
Is that when it was? And you were telling me about this guy you were dating who was like a lawyer. And you were driving.
He's not a lawyer. Did I say he was a lawyer?
I don't remember. I'm just telling you what. It's like your grandma's story.
Could have been a lawyer.
You know,
yeah,
we're both drunk.
I was you were.
But whatever his job was, you would drive back and forth to Atlanta. He'd drive here.
Yeah.
And you were like, I think this could
just
be
obsessed.
It.
Obsessed.
You got married in 2021. So how's marriage been for you?
I love it. I think it's been, I think what was different about when I knew I loved Tyler was like, Every person I dated before him, I always felt like I had to choose. It's like you either get married, you pick the guy, or you can do music, mm-hmm. or you can pursue what you love. And Tyler was the first guy who was just like so unthreatened. Just
was it refreshing?
Oh my gosh, it's like the hottest thing ever to just have a man like stand by you and just be like, freaking go fly and call me when you can. Go do your thing. And he's got his thing, and it's just, we're both free, you know?
And I'm
just,
assuming it's not lawyering.
He's a broker. He's a tech broker.
I knew
broker.
It was something like that.
It's like the CarMax of tech is
got
what
it.
I tell people. So.
And when did you feel like it was different? How long into it?
Oh, it was quick. It was like first date, literally our first date. I remember he picked me up from my hotel. And first of all, he's just so damn good looking that I was just like, okay, you know, I was already in. And I just remember thinking after that date, like, okay, are we probably going to see each other? Probably not again, because he's in Atlanta. I was on radio tour at the time. You know how that goes. But I remember thinking, like, man, if I don't marry him, like, I want a guy just like him. Like, that's the caliber I want.
And how did you guys do the distance?
We just did. Like, it was the most easy thing to figure out. I don't even know how. Like, we just didn't sleep. It was so fun.
See, my wife and I did distance for a while, too, and it was not fun because she was not as close.
Well, that was like flying,
yeah,
right?
It was California, tough. And it was tough.
But y'all started getting really serious during COVID, though, because...
We started dating 3 or 4 months before COVID.
That's amazing.
And then COVID happened, and it was only going to last a couple weeks.
Right.
So it was like, stay here for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And then that turned into months, obviously.
Yeah.
And then it was, well, I guess everything's going to go back to normal, so you're not going to move out, are you? Yeah. You're not going to go away, are you? I guess not. And so it just kind of happened like that.
Yeah.
What about you guys as far as, like, he had to move here?
Yeah, and that was a big conversation for us because he's a Georgia boy and he likes his woods and fishing and just being out in nature. And I think what's cool is he never made me be the one to ask. I think he just, I forget how that happened. He was just kind of like, you know, I realize like I'm going to need to move.
You had a song back in the day, I'm not going to put a year on it because I don't know years, obviously, because I thought we hung out last week.
Yeah.
My sense of time is completely off. The Make 'Em Wait song, which...
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I have a love-hate relationship with that song.
That's what I was going to ask you about. Yeah. So, what is your love... Let's go... What is your love relationship with that song?
Well, I'm going to be careful how I talk about it because I love that I know people were introduced to me because of that song.
That's okay.
I'm not lost on that.
And I don't think anybody thinks you are.
You know, it's my first radio single.
But if they still know you, they know that you live an authentic life. And you would probably say to them if they were here, just like you're talking to me, whatever your answer is here.
Yeah.
So I don't think anyone's going to be disappointed by your answer as long as
it's
true.
I feel like I've just outgrown it.
But what was the good part about it is what I'm asking.
It introduced me to a lot of people.
Got it. And then what... Because does it feel way young? Like, I'm going to make them wait?
It's a little young
like
now.
Like teeny?
Because I'm like, man, if I was 19 again, would I really make them wait? I don't know. No one would have known. I don't know. I still love the principle of the song, which is like, I love that a lot of girls were like, man, I realized my worth because of this song. And that's dope. And that's something my parents always taught me and my sisters. Like, the girl has the power. Hmm. The man courts the girl, but you decide where and when it goes, you know? So I'm glad, like, people got that message.
What's been the hardest part about being married?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I've only been married 2.5 years. So I asked that because for us, I think the hardest part has been for her having to deal with me, as in I'd never really been in a relationship, like a real relationship.
Yeah.
Until her. Even...
Just like a long-term one?
Not even romantic, but even at all. Because, you know, I wasn't close with my parents. And except for my grandma, who raised me a lot of my life, I didn't know how to be close to somebody at all. So she's had to go through a lot of those growing pains where it's like, I am 19 in that part of my life. And I think that's been hard.
How beautiful, though.
I mean, kind of, but also annoying for her.
Is it like she just knows your trigger points and knows when you're like pushing away?
She had to learn the trigger points, and that's never.
Yeah.
You only learn them if you get triggered.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I'm like, here are my trigger points. You haven't never seen them, but these could be them.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of things that would make me very uncomfortable, just intimacy in general.
Yeah.
Because I'd never experienced that.
Mm.
At least to that.
Like just vulnerability and.
I still struggle with it, but I am a lot better at it.
Yeah.
Because of her. But that's probably been the hardest thing. That, and then I work a lot. And I think I used to work even some just to fill space because I didn't want to have empty space because I felt like.
You don't want to think.
I felt like a freaking loser.
And so, really?
And so, yeah. So I didn't want to be a loser. I mean, I just felt like it.
But then when you have like a quiet moment, your brain starts spiraling like a little bit.
A lot of it, yeah. And so I wouldn't allow that to happen. And so.
Do you feel more comfortable in the quiet now?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, and I'm okay in the quiet. Then I'll just find something to do. That's what I would do then. But, you know, for her, I would be with her, but I would still be looking for something to do.
Yeah.
And that's not it. I'm supposed to be spending time with her. So, but it's been.
But it's nice to feel unconditional love.
Yeah.
And like allowing someone to love you unconditionally.
That is the harder part.
I feel that.
The second part.
You're like, what do you mean? I don't have to prove myself. I don't have to
constantly
do something.
Like, why do I deserve this?
Because
I never really had it.
And you didn't have to try for it.
It just
came.
Right. So, but also it came so easy. I feel like it could leave so easy. And I think that was a big problem.
Oof. Damn, I feel that. Like, I feel like I didn't have to look. I wasn't looking. And I feel like a lot of times, this is interesting. That's an interesting thought of, like, sometimes I feel like I try to work, quote unquote, work for the things that God just wants to give me. It's like, why can't I just let him give me the gift and give me a blessing without, no, God, I'm working for it. Like, no. What if he's saying, sit down and let me just give you a gift?
Yeah, why don't we just accept it? Probably because we think if it's free, it's not real. It's not valuable.
You don't deserve it.
Or we think we're not worthy of it. We think we're not worthy of a gift.
Yeah.
I think I struggle even getting normal gifts.
Yeah.
Like when people, I never open them in front of people.
I was like, I'll open a card in front of someone.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm with you.
What's the hardest thing for your husband? What's been something he's had to work through because of either growing up with all sisters or growing up, you know, we all have our own stories.
I think I would have to ask him. I don't want to put words in his mouth or anything because he's just so steady. Like I feel like he's so good at loving people. And like, he's so good at loving me. I don't think there's any man who could show me the kind of love that he does. This is patience and just lets me be free and lets me roam and lets me create. And he's so unthreatened by it. And anytime, and he's a hard cookie to crack too, though. Like I'm such an artist and I'm such a little like Pisces emotional. I'm like, tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what you're feeling. And he's like, no, I'm just thinking. And I'm like, that's the fun of thinking is telling people what you're thinking now. like, tell me everything. He's just a thinker, man. So I'm honestly, you're going to spur a little marriage conversation. I'm like, what are you struggling with right now?
Well, it doesn't have to be now, but you know, when two
or
people.
Or even with me.
Even two roommates that move in together, there's always.
I know I annoy the hell out of him. Like he says
by doing
don't.
What though? By doing, what do you think is annoying about you?
Free to everything. I think I'm so annoying.
But
like,
do you think you're loud or do you think you
yes, do you, yes.
But I don't think that's annoying because I'm not with you 24 hours a day.
I mean, he loves me for it, but
sure.
He did tell me, like, he said he didn't know after our first date because I'm so like into myself sometimes too. And I asked him, I was like, what was your first thought about me? You know, on our first date, and he was like, I thought you were the loudest girl I've ever met in my life. And I was like, oh, like, I thought he was going to say, like, oh my gosh, you're so hot, like, or whatever. He's like, no, you were a loud bitch. Like,
where did you guys go on your first date?
To Jenny's.
He had
planned out a whole night because I was supposed to get into Atlanta again, this one radio tour. And we had a whole conversation, like on the phone conversation. He's such a gentleman, like call me on the phone, tell me the plan, made the plans. And so he had texted me. He's like, hey, is your ETA still 7 p.m. tonight? And I was like, should be. 7 p.m. turns to 8. 8 p.m. turns to 9. I don't get to my hotel till 10:30.
Mm.
And by this time, the dinner reservation's out the door. All of his plans are out the door. So he picks me up and he was like, is it okay if I take you to ice cream? And I just wanted to be with him.
How'd you
like,
meet him, yeah. though? What?
We got set up. So my big sister and now my really good friends, Tyler's really good friends, Jarrett and McKinley Brock, they were Ashlyn. My big sister and them were good friends up in New York. And they were at dinner one night. And the Brocks were like, hey, we have this guy. We're trying to find him a girl. He's such a stud. He's this. And my big sister, knowing me, she saw one picture of him and she was like, oh, Abby would love him. And so then she just pinged me a picture of him. And she was like, hey, he lives in Georgia. I know you're going to be there in like a couple weeks and we want to set y'all up. And I was like, he can call me. Let him call me.
How long until he did?
He like asked for my schedule or they, the our friends asked for my schedule. I made it really dramatic, and I didn't need to, but I was just having fun. So no, it was like the next day or so.
You got engaged on a boat?
George has become like my safe haven, and we have a couple properties out there, lake houses, and so that just became our COVID hideaway, you know? And he took me out in a canoe and
proposed
to me in the woods. The only reason I had a gut feeling it was coming was because I was depressed as hell. And this was like, I was so freaking sad during COVID. And this was like right after I left the label, like everything. And my sisters were all there and they came down the stairs and they were like, hey, like, what if you didn't wear a sweatshirt today? Like, what if you took a shower? Yeah, and I was like, what is going on? So I was still wearing a sweatshirt. I just put a clean one on. And then he proposed to me in this. Oh, whatever. It was perfect, though. That's He's awesome. A stud.
Yeah, I think so. You've said it many times now. I believe it.
I know, sorry. I just like it.
Yeah, no. I hope so. Yeah, that's good.
It's nice to like your spouse.
Yeah.
You know? I know a lot of people don't like their spouse. I'm like, that was suck.
Yeah, and you'll go through little, probably mini seasons where...
Oh, for sure. We've gone through mini seasons.
Yeah, where you don't like them, but you still love them.
Yeah.
Because I know there are times where I'm not very likable.
Same. And I'm less likable than he is. He's very likable.
How are you... You're the most likable person. I forget how likable you are.
Like, yeah, but you're only going to see me for an hour today, Bobby. He has to see me all day, all
true.
The time.
I agree. I'm not arguing.
I can be likable for an hour.
Let's take a quick pause for a message from our sponsor.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com. Tecovas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Welcome back to the Bobbycast.
You're playing the Houston Livestock Rodeo Big Show March 17th. That's cool.
Yeah, we're back. I feel like I'm working again.
Yeah.
Back on the road.
Is that fun?
Yeah. I missed it. I think for a long time, I, like, tried to talk myself out of what I wanted.
Because you may not get it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I felt that.
Really?
Oh, are you?
Like just those moments of like debilitating doubt.
Yes, where it's like you're convincing yourself you don't want it, but actually you're just telling yourself you're so scared that if you don't get it, that you'll just be such a failure. So you're just going to go ahead and say you don't want it. So
okay,
therefore
that
you
makes
can't
me feel better.
Like crazy.
Do you still do that?
Yes, all the time.
And what's the discipline there to like not let yourself talk yourself out of it?
Acknowledging it, that's what it is.
Okay.
Because
like, this is fear.
Yeah. Because it'll never not happen. You're wired in that way.
Yeah.
So am I.
To like stay safe.
Yep. And to look for safety because it hasn't always been safe growing up. And so you want safety. Yeah. So what's safe? And I would do it, and I felt like because of survival, I would not allow myself because I had to get to a different place. But then I started to realize, you know, I think I'm just doing this because I'm scared that if it doesn't work out, that I'll be a total loser and I will not be what I thought I could be.
Mm.
And the fact that I could acknowledge it actually allowed me to put, it didn't make it easier, but it allowed me to just keep going, knowing that I wasn't wanting to quit for anything that was rational or logical. It was just fear.
Is it ever a fear of being seen?
In what way?
Or being heard?
Of not being seen or heard?
Of being seen or heard.
Why do you think people, if they finally see who you are, they're not going to like you?
No, because again, I think I'm pretty likable.
At least for an hour. For an hour, you're the most likable person.
So I don't know. I've been asking myself that question
explain
a while lately.
Explain that question, though, because I don't understand the question. For me, my fear has always been if I show my real self, no, people are not going to like me.
Mm.
So it was, let me try to be, especially early, let me try to be exactly what I think I should be, because I can chameleon into anything.
I was a chameleon.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I can make you like me. I know what you want.
And
I know how to be what you want.
And I was really good at it.
And
it didn't matter. I could go wherever. And I think I kind of had to be that anyway growing up because I was uncomfortable a lot growing up. So I had to figure out how to read people, where I was safe, where I wasn't. And that was just a natural skill. But then I was worried if I was my real self that nobody would actually like the real version.
Maybe that's what it is then. Yeah. Because I found for a long time I didn't even know. Maybe you relate to this. There was a long time where I didn't even know what I liked.
Yeah. That's still a struggle with me.
It's still a struggle for me. And I literally, it's a discipline I have to do every single day. If it's cover artwork, there was a minute, Bobby, this is like kind of sad. I had to wake up and ask myself, what do I want to wear today? How do I want to do my hair today? Like that was a practice. And I still have to practice that.
Rewiring yourself.
Because for so long, I was told what to wear. Yeah. I was told what's modest and what's not and what makes me worthy and what doesn't. And I've never asked myself, does this make me feel good? Do I like this? Am I proud of this? Oh my gosh. I'm like, I'm 26 years old. I'm still.
You're having to rewire your brain.
I'm rewiring my brain. It's fun.
And almost impossible, but can be done.
And I think I'm learning too, like, I don't have to have it all figured out to be successful.
You'll never figure it out. And the people that have it figured out actually don't. We just think they do. And that you would ask them and they would admit they don't also.
Yeah.
Nobody has it figured out.
Yeah.
Some people look better doing it, but that's only because we're looking from afar.
That's a good point.
But anybody that I know that's been wildly successful in whatever arena, they will also say, I still don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because there is no blueprint, really.
No.
Especially if you want to do it and be authentic.
100%.
If you want to do it and be a version, a one-hit wonder pop song, not even music, but I'm just saying like something that people like and then forget, but have a little bit of success, that's probably able to be done, but it's not able to be sustained.
Yeah. I feel like the last couple years has been such a blessing for me. Like I know what not being authentic feels like. And
did you know you weren't being authentic though when you weren't being authentic? Because
no,
I don't know that I did.
I just knew I wanted to make people happy.
Yeah. I just wanted to entertain.
I just wanted to be the entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the last couple years has been such a practice for me, a practice of practicing authenticity. and just realizing, I'm like, God, and I pray for those opportunities. I'm like, God, give me an opportunity today to practice authenticity and to say no or to say yes. And those opportunities will come and you're like, oh, here it is. You know, so that's been fun.
I keep a note in my phone of every lie I tell.
Why? Gosh, that sounds terrible. I couldn't keep up with mine, honestly.
Well, that's,
what do you mean by, what do you mean, like, what kind of lies? Just lying to yourself?
Because it makes me uncomfortable at times to even tell lies that I'm telling as like a white lie or to make, to appease somebody. And in the end, it usually comes back not a net positive. So I keep a list of lies just to remind me I don't want to lie, even if it's uncomfortable.
So this is like after a conversation you've had with someone.
It's just an accountability thing.
Even if it's like, oh, I like that, but you don't.
For example, I was on a podcast talking with Eddie, who's my best friend, and I told him I had talked to this guy named John Middlecoff, but I hadn't talked to him. I'd only texted with him. And that really wasn't even, in my mind, that really wasn't a lie, but then I got off and I was like, you know what? No, I lied.
Yeah.
So it is.
I like that. Wait, that might pick that up.
It's just an accountability thing for me because I have to keep track of it. I notice it more.
Yeah.
And therefore, I feel like I'm pursuing and I'm conscious of a more, somewhat more authentic version. But it sucks sometimes. It sucks.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be easy, though. If it's easy, everybody would be doing it.
Are you going to therapy?
A lot.
I can tell. It's a good thing.
I have my own therapist. I finally have one that I really like that challenges me.
Yeah.
Hard. That makes me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then my wife and I have one. Awesome. And we started going, and it's the greatest.
Yeah.
Counseling for us is awesome.
Yeah.
And it's hard. But it makes everything else easier. It's like lifting weights. You get a lot, it sucks working out, but then you're just a lot stronger.
It feels so great after.
Yeah, it just feels good. What's up? So what's happening with this music? What's the deal?
No, we're working on it right now.
I'm
practicing authenticity.
Yeah, like, are you going to dribble out songs one at a time?
I don't know yet. I'm in the studio. I'm writing a ton. And I've got, like, as of right now, I have, like, a handful of songs I'm stoked about. And so now, I do feel pressure. Like, I'm feeling like, okay, there's a lot of eyes on it. And, like, you know, Heart on Fire in Mexico, I'm super thankful that like brought in a whole new audience.
I mean, that's the song.
And now, I mean, I hope it still is the song. Yeah. You never, in today's world, like anything could be bigger than it was 10 years ago. You never know. And I love that song. But I do feel a little pressure of like, okay, this next stuff, it's got to be better than what I've done. But
it doesn't though. It doesn't have to compare at all.
It's more like raising my internal standard.
That's great.
That's what it is.
If you
want to
do that and it's healthy for you to do that.
It feels healthy.
As long as it feels healthy.
I think. I don't know. But But you can psych yourself out too. Like I'll doubt myself, you know.
You always will.
Yeah.
You never won't.
Yeah. And that's a comforting thought, honestly.
But it's both. It's you feel stupid and it's scary because you're like, I'll never get through this. I'll always be this way. But then when you realize you'll always be this way, again, you can acknowledge it and move through it knowing that it's not the end.
Yeah.
I remember, and we'll wrap on this, but I remember the last time you and I had talked on the phone and you were like, I want to be more of an online, or a social media, like have a presence. And I want to do, and I was like, you're that person. That's you. You have such a... There's such an attraction to just your energy in general. And I even forget about it sometimes until I see you.
Yeah.
And I was just like, just be you. And I'm not in any way saying I did or said anything. I didn't say anything. It's the most generic thing ever. But I believed it. But that's what you did. And it's just, I've just watched you blow up.
Thank you.
By just being you.
And I didn't understand. Like, people would always say, like, oh, just be yourself. And I'm like, I don't know what myself is, though. And I'm still figuring that out. Now I'm like, oh, like I know when I like something and I don't have a problem telling someone I like that, I don't. That feels great. But I'm still like just chiseling away down to the core.
And not to, as they say, beat a dead horse, but you will never figure it all out, even about yourself, because you're always changing.
Yeah.
And so you'll always be chiseling.
Yeah. And I like that. That's a fun thought.
And it's terrifying at the same time.
Yeah.
Because you never have a grasp. That's the terrifying part of it.
Yeah.
But then when you realize you'll never have a grasp, then you don't hold yourself to a standard of, I must have a grasp because everybody else does. Well, they don't either.
I just like to think about, like, we're all going to die.
I think about that all the time. We're just organic
to
pieces
me,
of matter.
Like
that's
the,
not even, yeah.
That's the most
it's
comforting thought to me.
It's the equalizer.
It's like, you know what? When I'm 98 and I'm on my deathbed, the most comforting, I'm like, I just want to make sure that that woman is proud of me today. And is like, you know what? Even if it doesn't go, even if all my hopes and dreams don't happen, whatever, like, I did my best. And I freaking went for it.
You guys, Abby, you know? On Instagram, Abby Anderson Music. TikTok, Abby Anderson Music. I don't know. Whenever you're ready, come up to the show.
I mean,
we can set it up whenever. Just use the golden ticket whenever you want.
Well, you let me know when like a fun time would be.
It's not that. It's just when you have whatever to, if you wanted to.
I want to co-host one day.
Okay, if Amy's ever out, I'll call you.
And
you
can just, well, you'd have to I probably need to do media training before.
For our show? Nobody's ever had media training.
Really?
There's a type of person that needs media training. And there's a type of person that needs to be told, hey, chilled just a little bit.
Yeah.
You don't need media training except for now you know exactly what you're doing, except for sometimes early on you just wouldn't stop.
Oh my gosh.
And it'd be like, Abby, hold on.
Chill.
Hold on.
Take a breath.
Like, I like what you're doing. We're going to get back to it. Just hold on once. But I think it was just, trying to do too much. Yeah.
I was trying.
We all do that. Yeah. But some people need media training. Some people don't. You're a natural. You come host the show. Amy's never had media training. None of us have had media training.
I like that.
We just got in the media.
And then, I just get scared of what I'm going to say sometimes.
Hey, same.
You know?
Same.
There's an art to this.
And there's an art to not thinking there's an art to it. Therefore, it's
That's
even
a good
better.
Point.
So, yeah. So, whenever you, if you want to do Heart on Fire Mexico, great. You want to wait till new music comes out, whatever you want, let me know. Come up, we'll have fun.
I appreciate that.
I really enjoyed it. I always enjoy it. I forget how much I enjoy hanging out with you until I hang out with you again. So I'm probably gonna forget again until next time. But you're awesome. Okay. Yeah, you're awesome.
You can forget about it. I'll come back around to you.
I believe it. at Abby Anderson Music on Instagram and TikTok, and you guys go follow her, please. She's awesome, as you could tell by the last hour. All right.
Thanks for listening to a Bobbycast production.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.